Would you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13? Please forgive me for having to clear my throat. I'm very sorry. I know it's annoying, especially if you're young and healthy. You know, all these old people should be in bed, and I agree with you. Amen. However, is that slide up? No. Don't worry about it if it's not. Matthew chapter 13, and the first verse always strikes me because I remember it so clearly. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And I know I've shared this with many people, but I can remember sitting on the side of the River Dee one sunny afternoon, pulled out my New Testament, read that verse. I couldn't go any further, because I saw this man in this doorway. I saw him coming out of the house, and I realized who he was. I'm sure if you saw a famous person and they were coming out of their house, you'd tell everybody, wouldn't you? Hey, do you know who I saw? And he should have seen the house. He should have been all dressed in this and dressed everything up. Have you ever seen Jesus come out of the house? Son of God, creator of the universe, less than 6 foot high, just an ordinary man, walking out and sitting by the seaside, which he created. It's wonderful, isn't it? You know, when I read the scriptures and I just get one verse like that, that keeps me going for a week. Every doorway I'll see Jesus. And that's the word of God, and that's why I enjoy it so much, and that's why I share it. Don't share it very well at times, but I share it. And I wish I had time to read to you this whole chapter. But I haven't really. But it is about the kingdom of God. Jesus came to set up a kingdom. He is a king. And he came to set up his own kingdom amongst men and women. Now that's a simple fact. But the kingdom can be quite complicated. And Jesus, in this passage, told 7 parables about the kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to quickly look at. We may not have time to go through them all, but we will do our best. Is that working? No. Not to worry. There's only the next slide I wanted to show you. Some time ago when I was in... Is on? No. No. There's another slide on there. Can you show me forward? Just one. It's only a picture. There you go. It's not very clear, is it? When I went to my granddaughter's, I nearly said vaccination. What's her name? What? Graduation. I'm all medical this morning. Anyway, we stayed in the Premier Inn. And when we walked in... That picture was on the wall. And I said to the lady I was sharing the room with, which was Dorothy, you'd be glad to know, that is Matthew chapter 13. Because we have 7 parables, we have 3 sets of 2, and then 1 extra at the end. We have 2 about sowing, 2 about growing, 2 about knowing, and 1 about going. Jesus, the first parable is the story of the sower, and I'm sure pretty well every one of you, if you know your scriptures, will know this. The scripture, I don't really need to explain it. Sufficient to say that Jesus explained it, and who can compare with his explanation? What it says to me, I will try and share with you quickly. And then the next story is about a field. And in this field there was good seed sown, and then there came in the night an enemy who sowed bad seed, and there grew with the wheat, there grew tares. They were weeds. And the servants of the farmer, whoever, said, shall we go and pull up the tares? And he said, no, leave them until the harvest. And then the third story is about Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that's planted in the ground. And it grows into a massive tree. It's an amazing miracle, isn't it? All nature is amazing. But when you see these massive trees and then you see the things that they came from, all the life that has been in that seed, amazing. And carries on, carries on, carries on. Amazing. Our God is amazing, truly. Anyway, that mustard seed, he said, was like growing, was like the way the kingdom of God would grow. And then he said it would also grow like leaven or yeast that was put in a loaf or a dough, and it filled the whole loaf. Don't know anything about cooking, but I have an idea that's what happens. Put the yeast in the dough and it gets bigger and blows up. And that was leaven in their day, yeast in our day. And the fifth story is about treasure that a man found in a field. And he did a strange thing. He buried it. And then he went and bought the whole field and came back and took that treasure. And then the last, or the sixth story, is about a man who gathered goodly pearls. That was his hobby. He collected goodly pearls. What beautiful pearls. And one day he saw one pearl that was such a marvellous price, it was going to cost him everything, all the pearls he had. But he reckoned there was a profit in it. And so he sold everything he had, and he bought just one pearl. Instead of having loads of pearls, he had one pearl. And we call it the pearl of great price. And finally, the last one is about going, because it's about a net that's cast into the sea. And brought in all the fish. They kept the good fish and they threw the bad away. And what we see in these parables, in fact, is there is almost a good one and a bad one. And so at the end, there is a kind of division. I hope you get the picture, because if you don't get anything else, you can go home now and kind of work it all out for yourself. But in the parable of the sower, many things have been said and can be said. I think the main thing to say is that the seed is the word of God. And we find four different attitudes to the word of God represented in the soil. So our relationship with God and our reaction to the word of God is our reaction to God. The way we accept or believe or reject or whatever, the word of God is our reaction to God. God and his word are one and the same. And so that seed, what God has sown generally to us today, are promises. We are children, we get our life from the promises of God. Abraham was given a promise, you remember, that he was going to be the father of many nations and thousands of people would be his descendants. And yet it was almost impossible physically because his wife was barren. And he was an old man. And yet Abraham believed that promise. It's an amazing promise. He believed that promise. And the Bible says because he believed that promise, God counted him righteous. Now, no one can commune with God, and God cannot walk or commune with anybody who isn't righteous. He wants everybody to be righteous. And he has given everybody in the world a promise to believe that will make them righteous. And if you go through the New Testament, there are loads of them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the book of Hebrews says we've got better promises in the new than the old, and that's for certain, isn't it? What a promise that is. What a promise. You are going to live forever. And I was saying to my class the other day, we can't take in the word forever. To think that in 200,000 billion years from now, we'll all still be around and we'll all still be living. We enter into eternity. Amazing, everlasting life. We are saved forever. How? As simple as can be. Just believe that what I've read this morning, it was for you and for me. And that's the gospel message. Scripture says if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, what's going to happen? We shall be saved. That's God's promise. And isn't it wonderful? Marvelous. But you know, many people hear that promise and somehow fail to believe it. I have always been amazed at the people I've met who have gone to church all their life and gone so long and never come to the experience of being born again. So many of them, I can remember myself. I mean, when I first started a church in Partington, one of the first meetings I ever took, as you might guess, I'd expounding Romans to all these ladies. And at the end of the service, a dear lady came to me and gave me this old radio, and I said, oh, thank you very much. She said, oh, well, Pastor, you know, as you said this afternoon, God helps those who help themselves. That's as much as she got of my exposition of the book of Romans. I can remember also a time when we were talking in the Bible study about what is a Christian. And a lady who's been coming to the church for 6 or 7 years, she said, well, I think if you do your best, you don't do any harm, you know, and you kind of live a good life. And I'm going, couldn't believe it. But somehow, there's something wrong with their hearing. And that's what Jesus said, didn't he? Be careful how you hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hear it. Because in this passage, Jesus likens deafness to disobedience. And disobedience is a fruit of unbelief. You don't believe the promise, so you live differently. But if you believe the promise, you're a different person. You know and believe that you have everlasting life. God calls us to hear the word. Hear it properly. I was reading in my Spurgeon's this morning. He says, the name a Christian. People who have the name of a Christian, but not the nature of a Christian. And how true that is. The difference between being naming yourself as a Christian because you had water sprinkled on your head when you were a baby, as when you are born again of the Spirit of God. And we're born again by believing the promises of God. And every one of us, I hope, here this morning can rejoice in that. No works of our own, nothing we have done. It's just we believed. We believed that the debt had been paid and the price had been paid. And though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When Cain killed Abel, the blood was on the ground. It was there, crimson, scarlet. Cain's wickedness was there for him and everyone else to see. But the book of Hebrews tells us there is another blood. There is another blood that speaks better than that blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all our sin. And that's the joy that we have. Don't let the devil ever kid you or ever fool you or tell you the lie that those sins God remembers. He remembers those sins no more. They are buried in the sea of his forget. He is a fountain of grace. He is a fountain of love. And every one of us can bathe in that fountain every single day. Know the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all our sin. It's a living salvation. Every day we live, we are being saved. We bless the Lord, every one of us, for the fact that we have received the seed. It's been sown in our hearts. I don't know whether I ever told you about, did I tell you a story about the chap who came out to in a meeting once to be prayed for, and the preacher said to him, what can I do for you? And he said, oh, it's my hearing. So he prayed for him, and then he said, how's your hearing now? He said, oh, it's not till next Wednesday. So, I haven't told it before. However, that's good. From Liverpool, by the way, that was. Wasn't Bob. Yeah. Then we have the story of the tares. The kingdom of God is like tares being grown in a field. At the same time, a false gospel. At the same time, a wrong seed for people to believe. And is it not true today that there are lots and lots of tares in the world? Lots of bad things or false things that people are taught, not only in school or anywhere else, even in the churches today, people are taught, and seeds of tares are being sown. And the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And you have to know as a Christian that even in our so-called Christian world, in this same field, in this so-called kingdom, there is growing up with the true seed and the true word of God many falsehoods. Now it's true that as Christians, of course, we don't agree about everything. I mean, I made a list the other day from a class about the things that we might fall out about. The second coming, the sovereignty of God, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, election, predestination, universal reconciliation, eternal security, Bible interpretation, and I'm sure the list goes on a lot longer. We're very good, aren't we, of, knowing what we believe and finding other people who don't believe. Now, that is covered by the fact Jesus said, love one another. That's what he said. He didn't say fall out over these things. Whatever people believe, if they are born again of the Spirit of God, then to me, we should be able to accept. And I think probably a good thing about this church is you get all sorts of people coming here and they're all preaching. You know, and I know pretty well they have so many beliefs that we might differ over, but when they're born again, we're all part of the body. And I always think, if I was to show you an eye and then brought a foot, and I'd say, well, those two got to do with one another. It's only in a body, isn't it, that there's any relation. But there's nothing like each other. They're totally different. And that's exactly what the scripture says. That the eye can't say to the foot, oh, no need of you. But the Lord has built up his church. But the big seed that is false, if you read the scripture, and in fact, if you go into the next two parables, the first one is about the mustard seed. That's a very good illustration of a good seed. Because Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. Now that is amazing, isn't it? It is amazing. And it's more amazing probably to us to think that, you know, a little seed can grow into a great big tree. But if you were to put that seed in the crack in a rock, it'd crack it. It'd break it. It's unbelievable, isn't it? The power in a little seed to crack a rock, to move a mountain. Just in the physical, you could explain it. But Jesus is talking about the power of faith. The power of faith. The kingdom of God shall be like a little seed that's planted. And Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He was talking about himself. Because the Jews, the Greeks came to him and they said, oh, the Greeks want to see you. And then Jesus says this, when the disciples said, the Greeks are here, want to see you. He says, a strange answer, wasn't it? He says, except a corner we fall in the ground and dies, it abides alone, but if he dies, it bears much fruit. What he's actually saying is, well, when I've died, when I've sown the seed, then the message will come to the Greeks. That's all. Then it will bear forth. Then it will be fruitful. But it's marvelous, isn't it, that one seed, Jesus, has moved a mountain. If you go to Zechariah, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, this mountain shall be removed. One mountain. One mountain. Well, to my mind, it's that mountain of sin, the unbelief that's in people's heart, by the gospel message, by what Jesus did. And the church has grown, hasn't it? And it says, the birds of the air come and nest in the branches. And how true it is. I mean, the church doesn't owe the world anything. People talk about the church owing the world a living. It does not. The world is more ingratitude to the church and what Christian people have done. They've been the first reformers in any social area. They've been the first reformers. And this is the Christian people. And the birds of the air have settled in their nest. But then Jesus told a story about the leaven. He said the church, the kingdom of God, will be like leaven in a field, in a meal. Now, leaven in the scripture is never anything good. It's not a good thing. In fact, when it described Jesus and the body and the humanity of Jesus, it said he would be unleavened bread. There's no leaven in him. No puffed up, no pride, no ego, no selfishness in Jesus. But in the church, this is what he's saying. In the growth of the church, there will be leaven, and it will fill the whole lump. Now, if you go to the scriptures, you'll find that leaven is mentioned twice in the early church. And significantly, Jesus said, beware, in Mark chapter 8, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Two types of leaven. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And in the early church, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, there was a man there, as it was mentioned last week, sleeping with his mother. And there was not only immorality in the church, there was all sorts of things in the flesh going on in the church. And Paul says, get rid of him. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. He was identifying himself as one of God's people. He was there in the church being accepted as one of God's people. And Paul said that was leaven. Now, if you go to Herod, Herod was an immoral man. But he did, in fact, patronize the Jews, patronize the religion. He even built them a temple. And he even patronized Jesus in the sense that when Jesus came before Herod, he was made up. It says Herod was glad because he'd always wanted to meet Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus wouldn't even speak to him. And when one time the people came to him and said, you better get out of here, Herod will kill you. And Jesus said, you go and tell that fox Herod. You go and tell that fox Herod. He wasn't scared of Herod. King of kings, Lord of lords. But Herod was a sensuous, fleshly man, full of pride. And that fleshliness is what I believe is the leaven of Herod. And if you go to the other leaven, which is found in Galatians, the leaven was the preaching of the fact it wasn't sufficient to have faith. You had to have works to accompany it. And the work that they were preaching was circumcision. Something done in the flesh. Some sign. Some physical thing. Some outward thing. Some visible thing. And that leaven, I think, saturates the whole Christian world. The fact that we are saved by grace alone, or by faith alone, in Christ alone, is a fact. We are only saved by believing the promises of God. And there are people who say, oh, well, I show my faith by my works. Listen, faith, the work of faith is to rest. That's the faith. That's when we show that we're saved, by resting, by not doing things to justify ourselves. So, you know, if even the devil could come along and say, oh, you better do this, and you better do that, or you won't be saved, that's a lie. That's a lie. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And then, when we have a fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into us, then the life we then live is the life of Christ, as far as God is concerned. And that faith will grow. Christ will grow in us over the years as we read his word, as we continue to believe the word. Now, if you read the word and you don't believe it, you'll get nothing from it. In fact, it won't do you any good. But when you read the word, believe it, believe it, believe it. These are the promises of God. And we live on those things. And we grow spiritually by believing these things. Because the word of God will never fail. So we have good seed and we have bad seed. We have a good growth, the mustard seed of faith, and the bad seed of works for salvation. I trust you see it. I haven't got time to go any more than that. Sufficient to say also we move on to a wonderful story in verse 44, which tells us about treasure hid in a field. This is probably my favorite parable. A man comes and he finds treasure in a field. That amazing thing about him is that he takes this treasure and he buries it. He hides it. Now, coming from Liverpool, I wonder why he didn't just lift it and scarf her and say, thank you very much, wonderful, found it, mine, didn't tell anyone. And there are a lot of people, and in fact, when I was young, this came to me simply because I did read a little booklet, and it was saying that Jesus was the treasure. But not in this story, it's in the next one. But in this story, we are the treasure. Men are his diamonds, and he loves them so. And when he comes, he will make men to make up his jewels, it says in one of the prophets. We are his jewels. We are his diamonds. But he came to this earth. He saw all these diamonds, saw all these jewels. But where were they? They were buried in the filth and the dirt of sin. That's where they were. So why didn't he suddenly say, right, okay, when he fed the 5,000, there must have been 20,000, 30,000 people there. Why didn't he just, whoop, okay, off we go. They wanted to make him king at that time. Why didn't he just take them? So why did this man in this story go and buy the whole field? He must have realized there's more treasure in that field. And he could have just set up a kingdom on the earth then. He could have just fed everybody every day by breaking loaves. He could have made a mighty king. He could have taken over the world. If Jesus had followed the disciples, and I often say this, he could have gone into the fishing trade. And if you imagine if Jesus went into the fishing trade and just brought all those fish in every day and jumped in all his pots by his wonderful magic hands, and then they'd have to build more ships, and then that would grow and the industry would grow. Let me tell you, Tesco and Safeway and everyone else, they'd all be disappeared. They wouldn't be here. The Lord would have taken over the whole industry of the world. He could have done it, couldn't he? Could have done it. But he said to the disciples, I'm not following you, you follow me. Where did he go? Went to the cross. And he called them to follow him to the cross. Because he knew when he paid the price, he gave his life a ransom for everyone. God so loved the world. That's you and me. And he paid the price. And what did he do when he come back? And I love this. There's a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians, I think chapter 2, 20, I think. And it says, Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I haven't got time to go through all that, but I'll illustrate it. You take the diamond and you wash it. Don't you? Wash it clean. Righteousness. And then you hone it. You polish it. You knock the edges off. You make more little facets on it so it will shine differently from different light. Righteousness. Sanctification. Redemption. Brought back, brought out of the filth, brought out of the dirt, to be redeemed, to show the value. And this is the wonderful thing about these two stories. Jesus, God, knowing the value of man. When the angels sinned, he threw them out. But when man sinned, he redeemed him. He didn't start again. He didn't decide, I can make something better. No. When God made man, that was the height of his creation. He could make nothing better than a human being. He made man in his own image. And sin came and the devil came and spoiled it all. But Jesus came, the last Adam, came to the fight and changed, made it possible for sinful, dirty, filthy men and women to be holy, pure sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous that he has done that for us, that he values us so much, so much. He gave his life for us. That's wonderful. I think it's marvelous. And we can rejoice this morning that we're not just, you know, as the world weighs us up. Because in this world, you're either, you can be cast down, you can be a beggar in the street, or you can be looked up to as some kind of, I don't know, highfalutin bloke at the top. To God, precious. Precious. Every single one of you here, and I thank God myself, I know I'm precious to the Lord. He loves me. He cares for me. Above all, he died for me. And take these things home with you. Not in your head, but in your heart. Knowing them in your heart. That's where true faith lies. That was the wisdom of God. He has made unto us wisdom. Again, I wish I could go a long time about that, but he has been made. It's a strange phrase, it made unto us wisdom. But he's just as he's made unto us our righteousness, just as he's made unto us our sanctification and our redemption, so he is our wisdom. There's a kind of education in this world which isn't wisdom. Men are ever learning, ever coming to a knowledge of the truth. But wisdom is to know the value of things. And the man in the next story recognized the value of one great pearl. And this again is the gospel message, isn't it? When we realize, and we do realize, when we see the value of Jesus, we will give up everything. Won't be a struggle. Won't be hard. And if we find things hard to give up or hard to surrender, you need to take a better look. And understand what all the riches and all the wonderful things that are be found in Christ. It's a lifetime, takes a lifetime to enjoy all these things and find out all these things. And you're finding them out all the time. Because new life is coming all the time. from this wonderful Saviour. You have one great pearl of price, and it doesn't matter what happens then, you've got Jesus. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all what happens. Education or money or anything like that, no value whatsoever. Having that great pearl of great price. Final story is about the net. And really, it's pretty simple, isn't it? Because there's going to be a judgment. And we will be judged according to how we treated Jesus. That's it. How we reacted to the seed that was planted, that was preached to us. And we'll be rewarded according to how much we value Jesus by how much we gave. I just pray the Lord will help every one of us to recognize these things. Go over these chapters again, and if you like to. And if you don't know anything else, then you'll probably find all this on netprofit1.co.uk. Most of the stuff I preach is there. May the Lord bless you. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the way you have given it to us on a pallet, Lord, on a plate that somehow at times we can understand and enjoy. And Lord, we pray that the entrance of your word this morning will bring light to each one of us. We shall see the path more clearly, and above all, see the one who leads us and guides us. Lord, we bless you and thank you for all the things we've been reminded of this morning. We go away as kings and priests. We go away having the greatest riches that there can be found on this earth in knowing you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you tell me more about his lovely name? Amen. Amen.